Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Ich warte seit Wochen auf diesen Tag und tanz vor Freude über den Asphalt, als wär's ein Rhythmus, als gäb's ein Lied, das mich immer weiter durch die Straßen zieht. Komm dir entgegen.
Hallo und welcome to Gegenpressing, die Bundesliga-Podcast. Another episode this week, making up for the one that we lost last week. Still sorry about that, but it happens. I'm your host, Manuel Feit. And yeah, as always, joined by Stefan Biankowski. Stefan, how's it going?
Yeah, very well. Kind of rolling my eyes at the transfer window these days, but nothing new there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to talking some nonsense today.
Yeah, well, we definitely have some nonsense. we have lots of nonsense. this is going to be, I want to say, highly speculative episode, maybe. I think there's a lot of ifs, whens, and buts in this show. I think we both kind of tried to ignore this, but the elephant in the room has just become bigger and bigger, and it's, I don't think we can ignore it anymore, Stefan. This whole Cristiano Ronaldo to Bayern Munich. I don't even know what describer I want to use here. Do you have a good one?
How to describe it? Stupidity.
Stupidity.
That's okay. How I would describe it. I think it's just, like you said, we don't know where to start with this. It's just stories out of England that Ronaldo wants to leave 12 months after joining the club. Surprise, surprise. It's exactly what he did in his final year at Juventus. It's like I kind of said on Twitter the other day, this is a move that was obviously never going to work at Man United. Even though he is Ronaldo, there's a time, and you know, time comes for everyone at some point, you know, and the march of time comes for everyone, and this is, and Ronaldo's no exception to that. And although he scored goals at Man United, it was no different from what he did at Juventus. And I'm not entirely sure if this is coming out of Ronaldo's camp. I don't know if it's coming out of Man United's camp. They're maybe trying to push him out the door. But it would seem as me from reports in England that he's really, really interested in a move out of England, out of Manchester United. And as ever, the papers kind of just pull together a big group of clubs and be like, right, who can afford them? Oh, let's see if Bayern Munich want him. And then scramble begins. And as we've been seeing on Twitter for the last couple of days now, It's a bonkers rumor, but I'm not sure it's one we can close the door on entirely, is it?
Yeah, let's talk about it. after this break. This episode of the Gegenpressing Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all of the latest odds, news, and sports development, including this year's Wimbledon Finals, Major League Baseball, the latest fighting news, and even next season's early NFL futures. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BELIEV, B-L-E-A-V, BELIEV, B-L-E-A-V, to get the bonus and get into the action. Bet online, where the game starts. We interrupt this podcast for a very brief, quick insert. Yes, this is what happens when you record a podcast or pre-record a podcast on Monday with an eye on having it released the next day. And we did this for Bayern Munich segment. And then, of course, the moment we were finished, the Matthias de Ligt story breaks. Yeah, Matthias de Ligt in talks with Bayern Munich. Chelsea are also interested, and this is the two clubs that you will get in here the most linked to this player. Here is where we add. Matthias de Ligt has informed Juventus Turin that he wants to leave the club. He has spoken to the decision makers at Bayern Munich, Hasan Salihamidžić and Oliver Kahn, and Julian Nagelsmann as well, who has identified him as the ideal player to lead his back line. And I think Matthias de Ligt is very much in agreement with the club and really wants to join Bayern Munich, the project. We've seen this in the past that Salihamidžić and Kahn and lately have been very good in convincing players to join Bayern. And I think in this case, Bayern favored on the player's side. Now, the problem is, of course, the transfer fee. Juventus paid 85 million euros when they signed him in 2019. And back in 2019, Bayern Munich were also interested in this player and lost out to Juventus. They do feel, though, that they have a very good chance this time around. The one downside is that they are going to offer significantly less than Chelsea. Tuchel also really wants the player, has identified him as the Antonio Rüdiger replacement. I guess this really comes down to what is Juventus going to accept? They are asking for around 100 million. Bayern Munich are willing to spend 60 million up front and then add bonuses that could add up to around 80. There has been some rumors in the Italian press that the Ligt favors a move to the Premier League. I think this is Juventus briefing the journalists in Italy to drive up the price. It's very much indicative what you see coming out of the German media and also from the Ligt camp. And of course, it also helps that Bayern have already signed two players from Ajax with that kind of background. Nagelsmann as well has a significant pull on players, and de Ligt very, very much wants to join Bayern. And for him personally, Bayern Munich is the favorite. So this is going to be an interesting one to follow, I think. We're not going to get a conclusion on this tomorrow by the time this podcast comes out. I hope not, because I think it's probably already big enough pain for Stefan to insert this. But I think that this is going to be one that is going to be with us for at least a couple of weeks. July 12th is when de Ligt wants to have a decision on this. Bayern Munich, of course, start the training July 12th and then head to the United States 12 days later, or 6 days later, sorry, to play against DC United and Manchester City. And I think de Ligt very much wants to be part of that Bayern Munich tour to the United States. So, yeah, this is the latest on de Ligt. Keep an eye on that one. I think it's a very interesting story. I think this is something that Bayern and Chelsea are going to battle over, with Bayern being the favorite on the player side and Chelsea the favorite on Juventus's side. So yeah, let's return to your regular program. Lots of Ronaldo talk coming up. Yeah, we can't close the door on it. I made this joke that this is one of those rumors that might be talked into existence. And this happens, actually. believe it or not, the media can talk a rumor into existence and make and people laugh about that, but it's true. I mean, how often have we seen where we say, okay, well, this guy is being linked to this club and it's being denied on all sides, and all of a sudden, I mean, obviously a rumor gets always started somewhere, right? Sometimes it's the media who starts a rumor, sometimes it's that the player that starts a rumor, sometimes it's the agent and the player, and sometimes it's clubs, and they leak these things specifically to the media to achieve a certain target. I think with Cristiano Ronaldo to Bayern Munich, let's talk about the facts first. He's a 37-year-old striker with an incredible career. When you just look at the things that he's achieved on the field, there's no question that he will go into the history books as one of the greatest players that has ever played the game. And I'm not going to do this whole Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo debate. I'm just not here for it, and I don't care enough about either player. So I would just say that he is a generational player, right? Mm. With the whole caveat that he's now 37. And we know that Bayern Munich are very reluctant when it comes to signing players of that age. Now, we do know, and this is because it's from reliable sources and has been confirmed to me as well, that there has been discussions. And yes, the Bayern Munich board have denied any interest. But yet at the same time, they have talked to Mendes, his agent, informally, right? This doesn't mean before everyone here goes to Twitter and tweets this and says it's happening, be careful here. I mean, this is something that is informal discussions happen all the time. All the time. These agents and clubs talk with each other all the time about all sorts of personalities. We saw it with the whole Kalajdzic thing, remember that? And the agent was even at Bayern Munich to have formal discussions. And that does not mean a transfer is going to happen, even if there is mutual interest. I think in this case, where this is all getting started is that Cristiano Ronaldo needs somewhere to go. He wants to leave Manchester United. I think we can trust that as being true, right, Stefan? Mm. I mean, the way it's been reported, the way the sources this is coming from. And I think Manchester United are probably quite happy to move on as well, even though they're reportedly saying, oh, we don't really want to sell him because you don't know. Maybe you have to keep him because there's no landing spot and you don't want to break the porcelain, right? Just in case. Mm. You need to serve dinner at the start of the season. But I think the truth is that Cristiano Ronaldo wants to leave and he needs a landing spot. And the two potential landing spots at the moment are Chelsea and Bayern Munich. And the reason why they're the potential landing spots is because Chelsea's just sold Lukaku, right? Mm. So they need someone who can score 20-plus goals. And Ronaldo can probably still do that. We don't know. And then Bayern Munich, I don't even know what to call it, in negotiations with Barcelona. Is that a good enough polite term to describe what's going on between those two clubs? Mm. And about Robert Lewandowski moving on. So if Lewandowski moves on, I think they'd be quite happy to play without a natural number nine for a season and maybe sign a prospect. We're going to be able to talk about that in a moment. But all of a sudden, there would be a landing spot available there, right?
Yeah.
And this is really where this is all coming from.
Yeah, here's the thing. Ronaldo to Bayern Munich could technically work in a sense. If Lewandowski decides he wants to leave to move to Barcelona, if Barcelona finally come up with the money to do that, and they might now be able to do that with this new Wall Street deal they've got, they're kind of remortgaging the house to stick an extension in, I guess. I don't know. Don't know the best analogy for that, but if Barcelona can come up with the money to buy Lewandowski and he leaves, the kind of perceived wisdom in Germany, or how the German media are reporting it, is that Nagelsmann would then move to a kind of strikerless system. He has Sadio Mane, he has Serge Gnabry, he has Kingsley Coman, he has Leroy Sané, and then you can even stick like a Leon Goretzka, Alphonso Davies, etc., etc. He's got plenty of attacking players who can kind of share the goals amongst them. Lewandowski would have scored. But ultimately, any team, regardless of how pure their tactics want to be, any team still kind of has to have a kind of bona fide striker in the team that can at least come off the bench in a Champions League semi-final when they're chasing a game and they really just need someone to sit in the box and head in a goal. And you could maybe argue that Choupo-Moting is still the club to do exactly that. I'm not entirely sure of his quality to do that. And I guess in theory, that's somewhere Ronaldo can come into play, where he could join Bayern Munich. He could be a number nine that plays when necessary. And as part of this kind of really quite big and extensive arsenal that Bayern Munich would have next season, that sounds quite enticing. However, the problem is that Ronaldo isn't just a striker. He's Cristiano Ronaldo. And the problem that Man United have had this summer, or this previous season, is that they haven't been able to develop their system at all because there's been an obligation to play Ronaldo in each and every game. He's comfortably the most expensive player. He's easily the most highest profile player in the squad. And because he comes across as so professional and he works so hard, etc., etc., it's probably quite hard in person for a manager to turn around and say, I need to drop this guy. And of course, he scores goals. So it's very hard to justify dropping him unless you are a manager like Julian Nagelsmann or Erik ten Hag or Thomas Tuchel, who says, look, I'm sorry, but I will sacrifice a striker who will get me 20 league goals a season if I think it will help me win a 90-minute game of football in the semi-finals of the Champions League. And I think that's probably the crux of the issue here. Man United signing a number nine to replace Lewandowski makes sense, even if they're going to play this kind of strikerless formation, because it means they have a plan B to come off the bench. Problem is that Ronaldo, due to his status, due to maybe not his ego, but the kind of reputation he has, and due to undoubtedly the demands he would bring to the contract negotiations if he were to move to Bayern, which would be, I need to play every week. I just don't think it would really work. I don't think he's a number nine that they would need or that they could use. And that's probably why, in theory, I think it could work. But in practice, I think it'd probably be a nightmare.
Lars Sivertsen, who's a friend of this podcast, tweeted out, and I love this. This is obviously from Moneyball, right? A re-quote. People look at Ronaldo and they see a star that's worth 25 million a year. What I see is an imperfect understanding of where wins come from. Of course, goals equals wins, but we had this similar debate with Erling Haaland at Borussia Dortmund. Sometimes having a player who scores a lot of goals and has all the focus on himself isn't actually a good thing for the entire squad or club. And this doesn't make any sense at a first glance. What I mean by that is that it means you are far more predictable in terms of where your production comes from. And we saw this at Juventus, we saw it at Manchester United, you know, there is a sample size here of aging Cristiano Ronaldo. At 37, who's still very productive. You know, he scores, 20 goals a season, right? And the thing is, though, how much production do you sacrifice in order for one player to get that sort of production, right? There's a net production in the end, and what do you get by adding 25 goals? Do you really add 25 goals, or do you actually add 25 goals for a player that leads to you scoring 5 or 6 goals less a season? And when are you scoring those goals, right? Are you going to get production in the later stages of the Champions League. And this is really where Bayern Munich, what Bayern Munich is all about, is is Cristiano Ronaldo going to score for you late in a semifinal against Manchester City? My answer would be probably not. Because you can isolate him at this age. This is not a fast, dynamic striker anymore. This is not a guy who, you know, will add an enormous amount of depth to your squad. I think if you have the capability and if he has the understanding of this is what's going to happen, of saying, okay, well, it's 1-1, it's 85th minute, let's throw Cristiano in there and see if he can get us a late one. But you're not signing Cristiano Ronaldo to bring him on off the bench in the 85th minute, Stefan.
Yeah. Unless, of course, Ronaldo kind of... He decides that he's now at a stage in his career where he can be that player. You know, where if he was able to be a little more humble, and if his humility would allow him to be that kind of bit part player, then I think he would still be one of the most useful players in the world, almost like a clutch player, you know, almost like a field goal kicker in NFL or something, in the sense that you could bring him on, you know, he can sit up front, he still has remarkable sharpness, remarkable ability in the air, and he has a remarkable ability to just have players gravitate around him. I could see him being hugely helpful to a Bayern Munich team that are chasing the game or something, especially when they have players like Sadio Mane, Serge Gnabry running off him. But like I said, that would require a different type of Ronaldo from the one that we have that we've ever seen. That would require Ronaldo who'd happily sit on the bench for 20 games a season, and that just doesn't seem like the Ronaldo that we still have at this point. Maybe he will be that player. Maybe he is that player. Maybe he's that man now. And you know, whenever Mendes sits down with Oliver Kahn and Salihamidžić, you know, and they say to him, "Look, this could be possible, but Julian doesn't want to start Ronaldo every week." Mendes turns around and says, "Ronaldo's aware of that. He knows what age he is. He just wants to be part of a team that can push for a Champions League." Then I think he could be a huge player for a team like Bayern Munich. But that would require him to change the way he is. And that's without even bringing into account the sheer amount of money that it would cost Bayern Munich to hire him, which I think would also probably blow a huge hole in their budget. But it's an interesting... It's certainly an interesting transfer, but again, I'd be very surprised if it was to happen. But then I guess we were probably sitting here a couple of months ago saying the same thing about Sadio Mane.
Well, and we also, I mean, we've already moved from this will never happen to this isn't as crazy as we thought. I mean, this is a possibility now. This could actually happen. I'm trying to convince myself here. It's that the money is a big aspect. I think I'm looking at this and I'm see the decision makers at Bayern Munich, and Lewandowski is going to free up 24 million euros of salary plus the 50 million that they're going to get from Barcelona if Barcelona finally get that Bürofax to work that they're having issues with. That's remarkable. I can't believe people are still using that, but apparently that's the newest technology for Barca. If they finally get that to work and finally realize that this is the only price that Bayern Munich will accept for Lewandowski, there will be 50 million available up front because that's the demand, and 24 million euros in salary. Maybe that money will be, this is where you're looking at it. I say, okay, well, if Lewandowski leaves, that leaves a huge hole in the club's marketing department, right? Mane, yeah, it's a great signing. He's a great name. But if you can get Ronaldo, there might be some people at Bayern Munich who say, even if we just get him for a year, the marketing impact that this will bring to the club and to the Bundesliga is worth it. Right? There is that side of things too. At the end of the day, Bayern Munich are also a business. They're one of the three biggest clubs in terms of financials in the world. They are hugely recognizable as a brand. And as unlogical as it would be for an on-field signing, there is that side of things that you as a business have an opportunity to give your brand a jump start. It's similar to when they signed Felipe Coutinho or James Rodriguez, right? To think that, and even those things were just on loan, but both those deals did wonder for them in terms of their marketing potential in Colombia and Brazil. The social media impact was enormous. Right? And so this is where I'm saying they might just do it because of that, which is, of course, crazy because it's a completely contradictory to all the usual straightforward rational decisions that this club has been making. But there is that side of things, and I think we can't underestimate that.
Yeah, it's that's an interesting point, actually, in terms of raising Bayern's profile. And it's certainly a valid one, because, you know, it's quite easily conceivable to see Ronaldo moving to Bayern, scoring 20 goals in the Bundesliga next season, and, you know, doing relatively well. But and all along the way, selling Bayern Munich shirts around the world. But it just it just depends how such a deal would be obviously formatted. You know, there's no way that Bayern Munich would pay him what he's making at Manchester United, for example. And I know there's reports saying he would be happy to take a pay cut. Okay, fair enough. But it's just something that I'm still quite confused by. I'm still not intrigued. I'm still not convinced by it at all, actually. I mean, Salihamidžić was filmed walking through Munich last night saying, and he was asked about Ronaldo, and he just said, no, it's not happening. Of course it's not happening. And, you know, and of course he would say that about any kind of future transfer, but it does seem so unlike Bayern Munich that I'd be really quite surprised by it, to be perfectly honest with you. And so many things would have to go right for it not to be a disaster. And yeah, that just doesn't seem like Bayern Munich to me. They're usually too smart for things like this. So they will need a star when Lewandowski leaves. They'll probably need a centre forward, one with more, you know, one with more experience and proven record than this young player they're signing from Ron. But I guess there are other candidates there who I'm sure you're about to list off.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Yeah, I mean, I've been told by a very reputable source that they might go all in for Hugo Ekitike, because that deal with Newcastle United that was agreed on is still ready to be signed and lying on the table, is just not being signed by the player, because I think he wants to see what else is out there for him. And I was told by a source that I really trust, who's come through to me many times before, that they might go all in. This doesn't mean that they're going to do it, but he's really high on their list, because what they could do with him is, he's 20 years old. This is a smart transfer, right, Stefan? This is a completely different category. He's 20 years old. He wouldn't come into Bayern Munich and say, I want to play every game. I'd be happy to learn from Sadio Mane. I'd be happy to learn from Serge Gnabry. I'd be happy to learn from Kingsley Coman, Leroy Sané, be happy to work with Julian Nagelsmann to improve as a player. And another thing that Bayern Munich are really good, and this guy has a long injury history, and we all know what happens to players that sign for Bayern Munich. They all turn into these muscle machines, right? all these mini Arnies that are dominating on the field. And I think this is another aspect that's really intriguing for this guy, is that he could come to Bayern Munich and he would develop in that way. And I think for Bayern Munich, it's intriguing because there is no expectations that he would right away be the star striker. Still expensive. Hugo Ekitike has a price tag of 36 million euros, right? Mm-hmm. The salary demands are not very high. That is probably something that is interesting for them as well. And this is a sensible transfer. It's the absolute opposite to Cristiano Ronaldo. but I think it's actually, I look at this and I say, that's sense.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, on you go.
Yeah, no, just jump in.
I think the thing that kind of intrigues me about this is that it's a sensible transfer, but it's also like a kind of Dortmund sensible transfer.
Which, funnily enough, they were in for him too, and they didn't go for it. They went for Haller.
Yeah. Which is really interesting, because you'd think it'd be the other way around, but I don't know. I know very little about this player because I don't cover French football at all. I know German football just absolutely adores to sign young French players to kind of fill in the gaps in their teams. It's a kind of running joke I have. The per Ligue 1 gets raided by the Bundesliga every summer, come hell or high water. And yeah, it'd be interesting, but it'd be quite something for Bayern to go all in on such a young player, with very little experience at the top level, in my opinion. And really kind of, because if you think about it, actually Bayern's kind of, if you think about like the really, really big transfers over the last kind of 5 or 10 years, they haven't really worked out as well as you'd kind of hope for. You know, Upamecano, Hernandez, guys like that, really, Leroy Sané. It's
Renato kind of Sanchez.
Yeah, remember exactly. Him? Yeah,
same kind of signing.
Exactly.
You know, they went all in for like a young player who still needed development, and the step was too big. I actually think Renato Sanchez is going to be a good player down the road, but it was too big. The step was too big.
Yeah. Well, I'm not entirely sure Renato Sanchez has yet became the player that he was supposed to be, but that's a different discussion for a different podcast. But yeah, there was a reason why they used to just pick off Bundesliga players, because it was a proven strategy and they knew exactly how good they were. And we kind of covered this before in the past, that, you know, maybe Bayern are now being priced out of the likes of Florian Wirtz or a Patrick Schick. And if that means they now have to basically go straight to the source and pick up these young players before Dortmund or Leipzig or Leverkusen do, that makes things very interesting. But I think it brings a huge amount of risk to Bayern, which, you know, if you're an overall Bundesliga fan who don't support Bayern, that's a good thing, I guess. But we'll just have to kind of wait and see how they react to Lewandowski if he leaves, and whether they kind of have to go all in on a kind of risky signing like this.
And of course, they would point to the two times it did work out, which is Alphonso Davies and Jamal Musiala, right?
Yeah, but these guys didn't cost a lot of money. They were signed by They were signed for nothing.
Yeah, Davies was 10 million euros up front. I think the deal now, because of all the things that he's won, is 20, but that worked out. And Jamal Musiala, I think they got for free from Chelsea's academy. And that definitely worked out for them. So I think they will point at that and say, look, sometimes it works. But then, of course, there's this long list of players that you just named, and it didn't work out. And I mean, this is interesting. I think it is all very, very interesting, because we don't even know yet if Robert Lewandowski is actually going to leave. July 12th, this eight days away. We don't know even if Robert Lewandowski is going to show up for that opening training session. And I told you this before the podcast, Stefan, I'm going to be at Bayern Munich's US tour, which I think is going to be pretty interesting because of all the things that are still happening. I mean, we have already covered so many transfers this window, but the transfer window only opened 3 days ago.
Yeah.
So
There's still a lot of football, not a lot of football, a lot of transfer news to go through before we line up for the first game of football.
I think we have to, and we were asked this question in our mailbag for episode 250. Jonathan David, the little striker, right? Remember that question that we had? And I said the only club in the Bundesliga that would be able to afford that kind of money for Jonathan David, 50 million euros that Lille are asking for, would be Bayern Munich. And now, of course, that name has been reported, has also been denied. I know that Bayern Munich have him on their list of potential strikers. That list is long, by the way. It's a very long list. I think there's both pros and cons. I mean, Jonathan, of course, knows Alfonso quite well. They're the two big stars. They're the flagships of the Canadian national team that has been going to the World Cup for the first time since 1986 in this upcoming winter. And so there is a benefit there, I think, in terms of marketing this to a North American audience to bring in Jonathan David as well. And you alluded to this in the last show, right, with Tyler Adams. Sometimes these names get talked up a bit more because of the citizenship. That's a fact. That bias exists. We can't deny that. I have reservations about Jonathan David as a number nine replacement. I don't think he is quite a Robert Lewandowski type of player.
No.
I think he's a very prolific striker. He scores lots of goals for the Canadian national team against opposition that is not always at a high standard. He scored some beautiful goals in clutch games for Canada too. Can't deny that either. But the one big thing that when I look at Jonathan David is that he is not a typical center forward for me. For me, he is the guy that they would maybe bring in if Serge Gnabry leaves. Because I look at Jonathan David's goal output, and it's pretty decent. He scored 28 goals in 74 league all games, right? Previously, he scored 26 in 50 Jubilee Pro League games. Those are two leagues that are quite significantly below the Bundesliga. And what makes me worry, and this is another good example or comparison to what we discussed with Hugo Ekitike, and also kind of links into the things that the Bayern Munich experience with Renato Sanchez, is there is long stretches of games where he doesn't score. And I've experienced Bayern Munich my entire life. I'm from the city of Munich. I know what the press does there if you don't score. They count minutes.
Yeah.
They literally do a press thing where they count the minutes that a striker hasn't scored. Right? They did this with Roy Mackay. They did this with Giovanni Elba. They did this with Mario Gomez. They didn't really do this with... they tried it once with Lewandowski, but then, you know, it just never happened. But that is something for a young striker when you get into that sort of club. Quite an experience when you all of a sudden have 6-7 newspapers counting the minutes that you haven't scored.
Yeah.
And if you have a history of doing this in France, where you haven't scored for 10 games, can you imagine the headlines?
Yeah, I must admit, again, this is a player I don't spend a huge amount of time watching, but just based on his numbers, I just do not get the buzz whatsoever around him.
Yeah.
Seems like a decent player. It looks like a decent player for kind of mid-range Premier League side down the line, but for 60 million euros, come on, give me a break. Half that tops. And, you know, if Premier League fans like to go on about a Bundesliga tax, then Bundesliga fans need to start talking about a Ligue 1 tax, because such a thing does exist. And, you know, I think, like I was saying about Nkiti, if Jonathan David would be an even bigger risk, in my opinion, for that kind of money. And yeah, I think this is maybe why Bayern may eventually decide just to hold on to Lewandowski for another season and let him go for free next year, because if these guys are the ones on their shortlist, then they might be in trouble.
Yeah, unless it is Cristiano.
Unless it's Cristiano.
Unless it's Cristiano. That would be a good slogan for a t-shirt, Stefan, because we have our own merchandise line now. Maybe we should ask the guys at Believe to put, unless it's Cristiano, as one of our quotes on a t-shirt. and sell that. We could help Bayern Munich raise some money to buy Cristiano Ronaldo. Anyways, yes, we have merchandise now. I'm going to stick the link, as I did with the last episode, at the description of the podcast. And yeah, you can buy a shirt now with the Green King Pressing logo on. If that's something that you would like to wear around, we would greatly appreciate it. We won't be not hurt at all if you don't. So fair enough. And as always, the show is brought to you by Bet Online. Stefan, any final thoughts on Bayern Munich's transfer season? Anything that comes to mind before we call it a day?
No, not really. I think they've done a very good job so far. Just have to kind of wait and see what happens with Lewandowski and see how they react to that. But so far, so good.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have another episode soon because we covered the two big ones. We're going to cover Dortmund, of course, down the road as well. Sebastian Haller is going to be official soon, I think. We're going to cover all the other Bundesliga transfers that happening, and we're going to do that next week again. I think it's a good strategy to maybe break it up every once in a while, do a non-Big Four transfer episode, because there's some other interesting things that are happening. And we'll do this next week when we're back with another episode, because I'm not going to be in some sort of Wi-Fi free area, Stefan, next week, I promise. All right. Yeah, until next week. Auf Wiedersehen.
In Sicht.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for. Trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.